Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am Junkyard James. With me, as always, is the man, the myth, and the legend, the one and only Cody Marinara. How are you doing on this warm and hazy Thursday evening, my friends?
It felt great today. Felt great. Actually got spring weather today. It felt great. Took a walk around town a little bit during lunch. It was fun. And when I mean town, I mean where I work at, because where I live, the walk around town is, is 2 minutes because we have like two blocks. It's going well. It's going with fun in the snow back in January. Let's move on. Let's get some warmer weather going. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing okay, I think. It's another Thursday. We're going to be able to talk about some pretty interesting things. We got a really, thought-provoking, I would say, show for everybody tonight, but let's get into it. But first, let's talk some housekeeping. If you're watching this on the X feed, thank you for tuning in. like, comment, subscribe, follow me there on X. If you're watching this, though, on the YouTube channel, go ahead and like this video, hit that subscribe button, and let's get us to 100 subscribers. So that's our goal. That's where we want to get to. I think we're at, if I remember correctly, we're at about 66 or so. So let's get us to 100 as quickly as possible. But like, comment, subscribe, share this video, scan that QR code in the top left-hand corner of the screen and join the Real Wrestling Community Discord channel, because next week we will be releasing the form for you to fill out your predictions for the All Elite Pay-Per-View Challenge. I was busy creating the Google document that we're going to use to fill everything out earlier this morning, and hopefully they give us the full card Saturday or next Wednesday, and we don't have to wait for last minute matches. But you know how Tony Khan is. But we'll release that form, I believe, probably Wednesday night for everyone to fill out their predictions and join the challenge. And thank you to all of our affiliate partners, W Energy, WWEshop.com, and StubHub. All of those links are in the description of the YouTube channel. And if I'm completely honest, I talk about the audio listeners, but the last couple of weeks, I haven't uploaded the episode to the audio platform. So you'll see a couple episodes probably this weekend that get uploaded. We didn't record 4 episodes. I'm just behind. So I apologize in advance. See, it's a strategy of mine, to be completely honest, because if we can get like a multitude of views on every episode, maybe they'll put us in one of those top 200 podcasts of the week charts. I'm thinking with my brain here for a minute. no, but let's jump into what we want to talk about today. We got some sports talk to talk about in our Iron and Turf segment. If you watched the episode of Iron and Turf YouTube exclusive from Saturday, where I did the first round of the NFL draft, my first mock draft prediction, throw all that away, because there's been some stuff that's happened. And so I'll probably have to, in sometime in the near future, create a second mock draft. There's been some cuts. Kyler Murray got cut. Stephon Diggs got cut from the Patriots. Jawan Taylor cut from the Chiefs. Some big names cut there for some cap relief. So we'll start there. Do any of those names shock you? I think the biggest shock to me was Stephon Diggs. But your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Diggs getting cut was a little odd, just because of the fact that I feel New England needs some consistency at the wide receiver position. But hey, if they feel they have a better direction of where they can go, draft, free agency, trade, whatever, I'm sure they got a plan of some sort. So can't knock it, but it was a little surprising. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward to fill that void of Stephon Diggs, but also bolster the wide receiver spot coming off of a Super Bowl appearance this past season. Besides that, I mean, not really, really, truly surprising. Cardinals are either going to be tanking or, I don't know. I mean, they had Kyler Murray as quarterback, so I don't think that, you know, they were exactly going to set the world on fire. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do going on from here at the quarterback spot. The rest of them, just cap casualties. I mean, it's just the way it works in the NFL, where, you know, you gotta create cap. and got a great cap space in any way possible, especially upcoming free agency. The closer it gets, the more, if you can't restructure contracts, if you can't rework a deal, extend him to maybe cut the cap number down a little bit. Cuts are going to happen, and that's just the best way to make more money on your cap space, but hopefully.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Give you a position to bolster up whatever position or positions you just cut. So it's going to be interesting for HP here over the next couple weeks. And interesting to see where some of these guys on the free agency market are going to go. Got a lot of top dogs at the top. My boys in a burgundy and gold have got quite a bit of cap room, but as we've seen, that doesn't always mean that we're going to hit the jackpot in free agency. So I'm just hoping that our general manager, Adam Peters, can actually spend money, spend it wisely, spend it on positions of need, and bolster this roster up much more so on the defensive side than the offensive side. But free agency is going to be a frenzy for sure. It's going to be fun.
What the Washington Commanders are going to do is re-sign Von Miller to another deal. Just prepare that. Von Miller's already said he wants to stay in D.C., so just be prepared.
Come to us on the cheap, man. Come to us on the cheap.
The Juwan Taylor deal, him getting cut, the Chiefs were – $55 million over cap compliancy, I think. So they had to get cap compliant. That makes sense. He may come back on a cheaper deal. Kyler Murray probably should have been traded from the Cardinals a while ago. Let's just say that. Anyways, and then the Stephon Diggs deal. I think it makes sense for the Patriots to cut him, knowing that there's legal implications that are soon to come out. Even if he is found not guilty on this case, it's a bad look for the NFL, and I'm sure there's going to be some form of suspension or put on the commissioner's exempt list or something. So I think it's just easier for them to save the $20 million now and overpay for a slot receiver and Alec Pierce. But anyways, let's move on to the next topic here. We're going to end the sports part talking about some trades, both on the NHL side and the NFL side. Let's start with the NFL first. The Buffalo Bills, my Buffalo Bills, made a trade today for a wide receiver. All of Bills Mafia has been clamoring for Brandon Bean to get the Buffalo Bills a wide receiver one, and he did. And the reaction to today's trade, acquiring a 5th-round pick in this year's draft and DJ Moore, and all they gave up in return is a 2nd-round pick to the Chicago Bears. The reaction has been mixed. There are fans that are like, "Oh, we just need a wide receiver." And then there are fans that are like, "Can we afford this guy's contract?" And it makes sense. He's paid a lot. He's $28 million cap hit, I think. And so we'll have to do some juggling of contracts to make it work. I think we maybe overpaid a little bit, but we were desperate for a wide receiver one. And I'm going to be completely honest. I'm ecstatic about this DJ Moore deal as being a Bills fan. He had his best year under Joe Brady in Carolina, 1,200 yards. And his quarterback that year, Teddy Trashbin, Teddy Bridgewater. imagine what he can do with Josh Allen behind center. We didn't give up anything outside of a second round pick. And let's just be honest. The Buffalo Bills have not made that many great draft picks in the past 10 years. They lucked out on Josh Allen. That was a risk in and of itself. They lucked out on Trey White. They lucked out on Deion Dawkins. But, I mean, Brandon Beane's made like 75 draft picks in his tenure. And I can name three that maybe were successes. Maybe James Cook, you could add him. Maybe Khalil Shakir, you can add him. But we'll give him five. So five out of 75 or whatever picks. He's not a good drafter, but he is good at acquiring veteran talent. I like the deal. Now, being a non-Bills fan and a non-biased fan, from your perspective, what are your feelings on the trade? DJ Moore and a fifth for a second?
I don't give a shit. I could care less. And my team, who gives a damn?
Fair enough.
I mean, it was warranted. They definitely needed a wide receiver. And it's like, at what point, I mean, I don't want to say there's been excuses, not from Bills Mafia or anybody saying that, well, this is why we're doing the Super Bowl, or this is why we didn't make it to the Super Bowl, or whatever. But I truly think after this offseason that there's going to be no more potential.
You're right.
You know, I don't want to say excuses or reasons, because I don't want to say mean like they're crybabies and whining fans, but like there's just no more room for potential of that. You finally have a legit wide receiver. And Stephon was a great wide receiver for you guys too, but this is more of like your bona fide, hey, this guy's going to get hopefully 10 targets a game, potentially. I'm sure you guys could probably use a little bit more help receiver wise. But I think that this offseason is literally the entire of whatever we can do, just throw it at the board. And that's all you can do. I mean, you know, I'm sure for Buffalo fans, it's been a long, hard, 40, 50, 60 years. As a GM, as a football ops person, as a head coach, the only thing you can do is just do the best you can and give it another go next season. You know, reload and retool and try to put different pieces around and just hope for the best. And, you know, build the best roster you possibly can and see if it works. And that's, you know, that's all they can do. I think that's a better trade straight up value-wise than what the Trent McDuffie trade was about. To me, that was a lot. That was a lot for him. I don't know if I would have given up that entire haul for that.
Yeah, I forgot about that trade, to be honest. For Kansas City, they were the biggest winners of that trade, I think. They got a haul for Trent McDuffie. And it helps them on the cap side. They get an additional first-round pick, which if they want to move up in the draft, now they have two picks, one in the middle of the first round or up, you know, pretty high draft pick, and then one at the bottom of the first round. You can make some moves there if they want to move up the draft board a little bit. But yeah, that McDuffie trade. I'm assuming
great
then
player, way too much.
Yeah, McDuffie's great, but I'm assuming that the Rams then are going to retool that secondary. Cam Curl's a free agent. I think Emmanuel Forbes, obviously, they traded for a corner, so Forbes may not be a starter anymore. Second team he lost a starting spot to, by the way. Good pick by Washington. You can watch this guy's reaction to that Emmanuel Forbes trade on this channel, on the YouTube channel, by the way. Greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. which, by the way, we'll be live streaming the draft again this year. It's always the funnest thing. And I'm going to make this prediction right now. The fact that the Buffalo Bills now no longer have a second round pick, we're going to trade back. I'm going to stay up.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All night waiting for pick 26. Just to hear that we trade to pick 29 or whatever for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we're going to trade back again with some other team to get back in the second round. I already know it's going to happen. I'm prepared for it this year. So, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Washington does the same thing. I mean, I think it depends on how the draft board falls for them. But at the same time, a top 10 pick is pretty valuable. So, yeah. Anybody between 11 and 13, 15, 16 is looking for that dynamite player that could really bolster your team. They're going to come calling. So I would not be very upset if we traded back, although that is one of the best value picks you can have as a top 10 pick. So I think we need a guy that's going to make an immediate impact day one. So I hope we pick at 7, but we don't have a second rounder, so – if yeah. That's what it comes to, is we get an early second round pick or something like that, I'm not against it.
See, I could see the Jets have 2, and then they have the Colts pick at what, 16? Like, and then they have 33. I could see the Jets saying, hey, we want 7. We'll give you 16 and 33. And so you have your first and your second.
I would take that all day.
Very
early second round pick and a mid first round pick. I'd take that all day.
Yeah, so we'll see how it works. Next week, the season begins, and free agent frenzy is going to be wild. We're going to see the potential of, one, Alec Pierce getting way overpaid because he's the number one receiver free agent. But two, Malik Willis might get $40 million a year because he played 3 good games in relief of Jordan Love last year. Crazy stuff going on in the NFL right now, guys. And then Kyler Murray is going to die. Hey, if you want to be a defensive end, Danielle Hunter, this is breaking news. I just got this alert. Be a defensive end, you can get paid. Danielle Hunter and the Texans have agreed to a 1-year contract extension worth $40 million. What is Micah Parsons going to get?
Great. That's what I wanted to hear. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Half our cap is going to a linebacker and a defensive end, and that's it.
All right. We break news here. Thank you, Aaron. Is that Aaron Schultz? Schultz report on social media. Let's talk about the NHL trade deadline, though, because that trade deadline is 3 p.m. tomorrow. We're both Washington Capitals fans, and we saw Nick Dowd get traded to Vegas today. I saw a report that the Capitals are going to be, quote, both buyers and sellers at the deadline. Have no idea what that means. Do you expect a frenzy of trades tomorrow, or – is it going to be one of them deadlines where we're waiting for 4 o'clock for all the stuff to happen?
I'm sure every single year somebody's like, absolutely, this is the year. This is the year. Last year was okay, I think, if I remember. 24 was a dud. And I could flip these around. I'm not 100% sure. But I do expect tomorrow to be quite a bit of a frenzy because, especially in the East, and pardon me for not being as up to date on my NHL standings like I typically have, when your team is doing the greatest, you typically don't pay attention as much as you probably should. But at least in the East, it seems like there's quite a bit of teams that are a couple points out, a couple points above the good. I can totally see a bunch of these teams saying, you know what, listen, let's try to make a run. Try to trade a couple players and better our roster and and make a run for our Caps. I don't know who they could buy. I've seen Connor Garland. I've seen that name float around that apparently has some ties to Washington. I really don't care about it. If John Carlson left my team tomorrow, I would be okay with it. I'm not expecting us to do a whole lot of crazy stuff. Team's got to get young. With Dowd leaving, that's arguably our best center. So I don't know who's going to take that center spot. Right. So good luck with getting that. Maybe that's who we try to find. Let me throw this one out for you. What are the chances on an expiring contract that Alex Ovechkin gets traded tomorrow?
I don't know if it'll happen. I mean, he's played basically right at this point all of his career in Washington. There obviously is a chance if somebody says, hey, we're looking for a guy that can be a goal scorer. And take up second line minutes, because I don't know many contending teams that Ovechkin will be a number one winger. I could see it. I'd probably put the if it was a Cauchy number, I'd probably put it at like 12%. Like, there's a chance, but not a large chance that it'll happen. By the way, did you see the return for Nick Dowd?
We got a goaltender. I'm not sure if that's an AHL goalie or what exactly his prospect is. A second round pick in 2029.
Yeah,
I think. And then is it like a fifth round pick in next year's draft or something like that?
Jesper Vikman, the goalie. I think he's just a prospect, a minor league goalie. A third in 2027 and a second in 2029. For Nick Dowd, that's a pretty good return.
That's a steal. And that's weird to say that, but I mean, the pick in 2029 is weird, given that it's 3 years away.
Yeah.
I don't know NHL teams could do it that far in advance. It's almost like the NBA. But the third round pick is crazy to me for next year. I was expecting, if we're going to get anything for him, it'd be a fifth. Maybe a low fourth, but having a third round pick is pretty damn good. I'm good with that.
This year with the Henderson Silver Knights, 8-7-4, 341 goals against average. So I mean,
he's
not
insane, Hershey.
Yeah, he's just a minor league guy, I think. So
he may go to South Carolina at this point. Damn.
Yeah, 23 years old. So he still has time to be trained, and we have a pretty good goalie system. I think our goalie team is always pretty good. Ain't no chance he gets caught up with Lindgren and Logan Thomas, but pretty good return, I would say, for Nick Dowd.
The only chance that man is getting playing time is if LT is done for the year. Logan Thompson, Charlie Lindgren is out for the year. Clay Stevenson from Hershey is out for the year. And the backup goalie for Hershey is done for the year. I mean, this guy, just ride the bench wherever you are, my man, and just collect the paycheck. Have fun.
Yeah, Warren Fogle got traded today to the Senators. David Perron got traded to the Red Wings.
That dude's old.
Yo, Jeff Petry got traded for a seventh round pick.
He's getting old.
Here's my thoughts on the deadline is we're going to kind of see kind of what the trades we've already seen.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Of the like some minor league moves, some older expiring contracts may move, and we might get a couple flashy ones. I know Colton Parayko did not release his no trade clause. The Sabres had a deal for Parayko, and he said no. He turned him down. So I think the Sabres are looking for a right-handed defenseman, John Carlson. No, they'll probably bring back Rasmus Ristolainen.
Yes, please.
But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, deadline's 3 o'clock, I think, Eastern time tomorrow. It should be fun. All of my work is basically completed for tomorrow, so I'm gonna try and pay attention to the deadline as much as I can tomorrow at work. If you're at my job and watching this, I do my work. I'll keep it to the side. let's get going to the mid-card meltdown. Now, this is everybody's favorite segment of the week. There's been some stuff that's grinded gears, and I know you have something. Hey, we didn't get any Brody King stuff this week, so you can't complain about that again.
I'll finally have a week off from that.
Anything that grinded your gears, my friend, this week in the wrestling world?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Friday will probably have a reason for next week to have a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
If Cody Rhodes beats Drew McIntyre for the title.
Now, to be fair, AEW put a lot of title matches on Dynamite last night. And granted,
that's totally fine. And the Trios title change, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. We didn't get a world title change. And if we did, it still doesn't compare for the fact that WWE has had like three already this year. And we're only in early March. And if it happens tomorrow night, the 36,000 tickets are sold for WrestleMania. We're a month away.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they had 60,000. Firing Road Dogg is not going to automatically make them sell 30,000 more tickets per night. It ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that that's the first domino to fall, but I don't think he is the main problem. Unless he is the one that pitched Drew to lose to Cody. If that's the case, yeah, fine. Get his ass out of here.
Right.
For my actual meltdown, though, I really don't have a wrestling one. Besides the fact that Elimination Chamber was
ass. Was
pretty. Well, yeah. LOL, Danhausen. LOL, hard LOL. Good to know that CM Punk can bring his friends into WWE and not get any slack for that. And to get booed in your hometown is pretty cool too. By the way. Not because you're John Cena and that's just the thing to do. It's because that was shitty. Gobbledygooker had a better debut. Yeah, Elimination Chamber was what it was. Nothing really crazy. I was a little surprised Orton won the Chamber match. I was like, oh, all right, you at least gave me something. But I wonder if they did it just to do it. Having a guy that lost the Chamber match due to interference or not, and then immediately gets a world title shot 4 days later, 5 days later, 6 days later.
Mm-hmm.
That's just wild. That's wild to me. Really, the only biggest thing that I have meltdown-wise is I have just four words. You may or may not agree with this. I'm going to lean more so on the will agree, but my four words are fuck you, jerks, and profar. That's all I got.
Yes. All right, good, because I got a couple topics to melt down about. So who's ready for story time with Junkyard James, baby? Number one. Can we finally admit that I've been right all along with how NXT is using former AEW talent? I got two examples for you. Well, I got a multitude of examples for you. Ethan Page, granted, he's doing AAA stuff, I think. I don't even really pay attention a whole lot, but today's examples. Blake Monroe comes into the company, this big debut, pushed to the moon, wins whatever title she wins, gets that title opportunity. Biggest thing in NXT for 3 weeks. And where is she at now? Oh, that's right. She lost in the first round of a speed tournament. A tournament where, by the way, the matches are 3 minutes long. And she loses in the first round because of an interference by, I think, Jada Parker. They buried her. They buried her. She was, and to think, I think it's the 1 year anniversary of her last promo on TV and AEW this week. And everything that Toni Storm said in that promo to the then Mariah May, it basically came true. NXT has made her irrelevant outside of the WWE system. And then Mr. Ricky Saints. Oh, man, you got to main event an NXT pay-per-view in your hometown of New Orleans. And you are on top of the world. But at the end of the day, your gimmick is just Timu Dwayne Johnson. And you're copying his singing gimmick now. And a promo that is so bad, the WWE had to remove it off of social media. They were getting hounded so bad. Can we just see what these ex-AEW wrestlers are to WWE? An easy way to poke the bear at their rival. They have no interest in making anyone outside of Cody Rhodes and CM Punk big stars that came from AEW. They just want to poke the bear. And they do good at it. And speaking of poking the bear, AEW's Double or Nothing pay-per-view is going to be ran May 23rd, I believe, live in New York City. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but it is wrestling tradition that the Northeast is McMahon country. That's WWE country. No one dare run a big pay-per-view in McMahon country.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But Tony Khan did. And so WWE is deciding, you know what? we're going to try and put a Saturday night's main event that weekend, the same weekend, to try to go head to head against probably the most prestigious pay-per-view in AEW history, Double or Nothing. Didn't we try this last year when they tried to book two shows in Atlanta head-to-head against an AEW pay-per-view and they got crushed the whole weekend? And see, this is where I think Tony Khan, it was smart by putting this pay-per-view on a Sunday night. It's because he then forced WWE's hand. If you're going to run against us, you're either going to have to literally run against us on Sunday night, or you're going to have to go before us on Saturday night. I just hate the pettiness. Why do you have to run the same weekend? You literally have... Nice car. You literally have the entire month of May to run a show. Oh, but just ironically, you're running it the same weekend as Double or Nothing. Why? You're going to get killed. That perception is awful. Especially if you're running a Saturday night's main event against it. You're going to get obliterated. There's just bad PR. That's a bad move. Your thoughts?
Especially with how high some of these ticket prices are. Your fellow brethren and host of a different kind of podcast shared a screenshot of a pre-sale for Monday Night Raw in Greensboro, North Carolina, the Greensboro Coliseum. I'm not going to call it the First Horizon Coliseum because, damn it, it's Greensboro Coliseum.
It's the Greensboro Coliseum, and damn it.
You're damn right. And upper deck, I think the last, if not the last row, damn near close to the last row, was $91. $91 for a Monday night, or a random Monday night Raw in the middle of May. It's not even like after WrestleMania. It may be after a pay-per-view. I don't know what their May calendar looks like. They're doing Backlash Tampa in April or May. I don't remember. May 10th, I think. Let's look that up real quick. Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's...
Sorry, folks, we don't have all these. Yeah, May 9th. WWE Backlash Tampa, May 9th. So, and I think that Monday Night Raw is May 18th or something like that. So it's a week after a pay-per-view. Not the Monday Night Raw after a pay-per-view, a week after a pay-per-view. $91. Good Lord. I just don't understand. I don't understand how people want to pay that.
So the Ticketmaster has on that Backlash pay-per-view, tickets purchased at the $3,000 level in the floor section will sit in a commemorative Backlash chair in which you will be able to take home at the night of the event. You're paying $3,000 for an hour of wrestling and a fucking commemorative chair?
Oh, man.
That'll go on eBay and sell for $20?
Maybe 40, maybe 50. We'll see.
Upper deck for Backlash is $132.
Even though that's really expensive, I can suffice with that because it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah,
I can still make sense of that.
Yeah, I would say I would pay $130 or so for a pay-per-view, especially with it being Backlash. Now, that's a pretty prestigious name of a pay-per-view. I would say that's a pretty decent price, but shoot, the Raw after $40 cheaper. You can get nosebleed tickets.
I don't understand. I really don't.
What's crazy is we got better seats, way better seats for $31 for the AEW show in that same building. So it's not like it's the building choosing the pricing there.
And we had a much better time than anybody at Raw will.
Oh, yeah, totally. We got to see the last night Will Hobbs was an actual wrestler.
That's a good point. Didn't really think about that. Yeah, that's a good point. I saw Darby go through a flaming table, the second big spot he's done in that arena in 2 years.
Yeah, Greensboro hates him because he has to stay in the hospital for a week every time he comes through Greensboro.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they won't come back to North Carolina for some time. They're saying, if Darby's on the show, we can't book you guys.
Right.
It's a liability. Well,
going back into some wrestling news now, I got three big topics. And we'll talk more next week about the AEW Revolution card, but we got seven matches right now. What are your overall thoughts on the build-up to AEW Revolution next weekend on the card?
I think the card is good. I don't love Statlander and Tekla for the fourth time, I think it is. Mm-hmm. 2 out of 3 falls, I get it, but I'm just not. And sometimes AEW does this where they will have the same match for some, it seems like 2 or 3 times before the pay-per-view, and right. Or maybe the third time will be on a pay-per-view, and the third one is usually, you know, some sort of big high-stakes match. 2 out of 3 falls is probably what the feud and the storyline needs, but after this one, let's pump the brakes on Tekla and Statlander for a while. Takeshita Moxley is going to be fun. Hangman and MJF is going to be interesting as to where I think it's going to go. Mm-hmm. I hope Swerve beats the shit out of Brody. I would like to see at least another women's match, whether it's for the tag belts, whether it's for Willow's TBS title. Kind of hard to do that when you have about a week and a half to get to that pay-per-view. In my opinion, Harley and Willow versus Megan Bain and Atlanta Cross. Is that her name?
Atlanta Cross, yep.
Yep, well, have them fight for the titles.
Yeah, I could see that match. My thought process was before Penelope got hurt, that the match was going to be Mega Bad versus the Babes of Wrath at the pay-per-view. Or Penelope and Megan would win the belts on that show, and then they'd have the rematch on the pay-per-view. With Penelope's injury, I don't know what they're going to do with those women's tag team belts. Maybe they'll throw the Brawling Birds the belts. Here's the issue that they have, and a reason why I'm okay with the trio's title jumping hands and getting it off of Hangman is because I think Hangman has to win the world title. And I don't like when your world champion or another champion has a lower belt. You hang one of the titles hostage. That's the issue with Willow Nightingale. Are you going to have her wrestle 2 matches to have the TBS belt and the tag titles on the same night? You haven't given us anybody in either division outside of Megan Bain or Penelope Ford to challenge Willow for quite some time. Even though you keep signing women, we're back to where we were a couple of years ago, where it feels like the women's division is 5 or 6 people, and you just have a bunch of other women sitting and catering for a while. I do think we will get at least one more women's match. That probably being, and now tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think Marina versus Tony is on Collision this week, right? I think that might be the pay-per-view match we get, Marina versus Tony Storm in a singles match. though they might have a match on Collision Saturday night. I'm not 100% sure. And so I do think we'll get one more women's match. This card to me, like, it's good for the most part. I do agree with you. The Statlander and Tekla match, I think, is a little weak for the card. Otherwise, like, I'm pretty good with the feuds we got. Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Is Bandido no longer the ROH World Champion? Did he lose that belt? Because they haven't brought mention of
who he lost it to. If that's the case, and by the way, no, Toni Storm versus Marina is not on Collision this Saturday. I don't believe it is. Hechicero did not win the belt, did he?
No. So on the ROH website, Bandido is still listed as the champion.
Okay,
so why is Andrade versus Bandido not for the ROH title?
So I think they want to keep Andrade as an AEW guy and not having to worry about going to ROH. I understand from name recognition that probably would be a good idea and would make the match a little bit more with stakes involved, but I'm okay with it not being that way. It's going to be a great match regardless. Mm-hmm. But, or maybe this is a way for Andrade to, if he beats him, then he does get a world title shot. When's the next ROH pay-per-view? Is it, they moved Supercard of Honor, didn't they?
Let me look.
Let's see.
They have no future events on their website.
Oh, let's see. Do they even have a website?
They do. I don't think they have anything announced. To be honest, upcoming events. They have Global Wars Canada March 27th, and that's the only other upcoming event. They haven't got a date for any of the other pay-per-views, so.
Usually they put Supercard of Honor the week or weekend or around the weekend of WrestleMania, but I don't think they're going to do that this year. We'll see, but maybe at a upcoming ROH pay-per-view, they put the world title match between Bandido and Andrade. We'll see. We'll see. They probably will put it on a Dynamite. You like to do that sometimes as well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But, yeah, I think that, again, that match is going to be good regardless. But it is weird, though, how they have not really been bringing too much up of Bandido still being ROH world champion.
Yeah. All right. Overall, though, I think that Revolution card is, right now, it's shaping up to be just another card. And Revolution, I think 2 years in a row now, has been my AEW pay-per-view of the year. They always throw the house, tear the house down. I expect a couple more matches to be announced Saturday and Wednesday. And then probably the 15 minutes before the show, he'll announce another one. I do know probably on the pre-show we'll get Big Boom AJ. He announced on a TikTok video today that he will be wrestling again at Revolution. So I'm assuming he'll have a pre-show match, though they haven't really built anything up with him. So I don't know what match he could be in.
Well, so at this point, Big Boom AJ is basically the pre-show match guy for AEW pay-per-views.
Right. Let's finish off the wrestling segment with a funny rumor and a disastrous debut. Let's start with the debut. Danhausen debuted on WWE Elimination Chamber. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. My God, what the hell did we watch? Like, Michael Cole's reaction, Wade, what the hell did we just see? Was literally my reaction the whole time this whole thing came out. I couldn't stop literally laughing. I knew it was going to be Danhausen. And it was still worse than I could ever imagine. It was bad. Like, I almost would have preferred Danhausen slip and fall or trip and pull a Shockmaster on us than what the fuck we ever saw there. Your thoughts on this Danhausen debacle?
I mean, to be fair, I did say that this, if it's Danhausen, if it was Danhausen, that it could be worse than the Gobbledygooker. I did say something about that, so not too far off. It was not good, and maybe it was done on purpose to make it look that way, with the kind of cheap looking pyro, the obviously the teeth thing. You know, not many people are going to get it unless you've seen Danhausen before. So, right. And 95%. Okay, maybe not 95. The ones that were booing, either I never seen Danhausen before and thought it was shitty, or had and was like, what is this? And the rest was no reaction because nobody knew who he was.
I almost,
that's the problem that WWE has.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I almost compared Danhausen's debut to Jeff Cobb's debut. Except Jeff Cobb's debut,
I can see that.
Came on in the middle of a pay-per-view match where he directly influenced the reaction. So that might be a worse debut, in my opinion. Because nobody knew who the fuck it was, except if you were an AEW fan.
And that's a problem that WWE has, is when they sign these AEW talent and they debut them on the main roster, they don't know who they are. Yep. The main roster, for the most part, does not watch AEW. If you go to NXT and like Ricky Starks and Ethan Page and Blake Monroe, the NXT crowd knows them because they're the diehards. They watch the product. They at least know who these people are.
Right.
When you debut Royce Keys and you debut, hell, even the Motor City Machine Guns, they weren't AEW, but I mean, still, when you debut these bigger name talents that are away from WWE, unless they are a true well-known name. Cody, you know, Cody was WWE before, but you know what I mean? You don't get a reaction. It's doomed from the start. But yet WWE doesn't care. They just feed it to them because they think that just because they debuted them on a pay-per-view, all the diehard troll internet fans are there. They know who these people are.
So it's not always the case. Right, and so here's the thing with WWE. Is they've catered to the fans so much on building somebody up via vignette that when they don't build somebody up through a vignette, their fan base doesn't know how to do a Google search on who somebody is. Here's what happened. This is why he got booed. Everybody was expecting a bigger surprise. I think they were expecting Chris Jericho. Or they were expecting something just a little bit bigger.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Then Danhausen. But I could have told you it was Danhausen when the email from Pro Wrestling Tees came out that Danhausen merch was 20% off the night before the show. The morning of the show, he fell off of AEW's roster page. I could have told you it was Danhausen. And like, not to say that Danhausen won't play a factor in making money for WWE. If I remember correctly, on the WWE shop, which by the way, use our link in the description box, you can buy a Danhausen shirt, the number one shirt on the WWE shop website. He moves merch, but he's nothing more than an R-Truth. He's not a good wrestler. And the fact that you gave a pay-per-view spot, I think that's why they booed, is they expected it to be something bigger than it was, because he was there and then he vanished. Like, literally vanished. And
And the way that it was brought up is that box had appeared on Raw for weeks. It was made a pretty decent big deal by it. And it was even brought up on the show. But then it's like, as soon as they got done with, what was it, the Punk match, the AJ Lee came out of this and that. And then it was like, well, wait, there's been this box. This box. It's time to unveil the box. Let's go to the box. It was just like so weirdly set up and just it didn't feel like it meant anything. And then it was just weird as hell seeing all this and Pierce comically rip away the box.
Right. What they should have done.
Walk away.
What they should have done is during that Papa John's ad, when R-Truth came out and they were poking fun at the box, have Danhausen bust out of the box to grab a slice of pizza and then disappear. That would have been a better entrance. Oh, it's Danhausen. He's a comedy gimmick. They made Danhausen feel like he was going to be world champion with his vignette or his big production. And maybe that's the rib is like, oh, every time somebody debuts, they get this big production. So we'll do it for Danhausen, but we're just going to make fun of the way the business works. Maybe that's what it was meant to be. I laughed the whole time. The people I was talking to about the show had no idea what they were looking at. Nobody understood the teeth. It just didn't hit the target market. And their target market isn't going to look up the meaning behind all of this. They expect it to be spoon-fed to them. Here's the funniest part, though, about the whole Danhausen thing. Is they're paying Danhausen main roster money. And I don't know how much that is. But they weren't willing to give David Finlay a main roster contract. He was going to start NXT. That's why David Finlay chose AEW, because he wanted to be a main roster guy, and they said, no, you're going to have your start in NXT. So you'd be willing to pay Danhausen more than David Finlay, one of the greatest wrestlers in pro wrestling today. That just blows my mind. That would have never happened in the Vince McMahon era. For all of Vince McMahon's troubles, Danhausen would have been 750 people away from getting a WWE contract under Vince McMahon, and David Finlay would be world champion day one.
I think if Vince was still here, McIntyre would have had a much longer title reign. I think that Gunther would have had a much longer title reign. He probably wouldn't have lost to Jey Uso. And now look at Gunther after retiring three of the biggest names in the industry, and we have no idea what we're doing with him for WrestleMania. There's a lot wrong with WWE booking right now. It's just because it's so flawed and bad, but because we cater to like the 5 to 25 range with the occasional adult there because they got to take their kid to watch the show and they may watch wrestling, they can kind of get away with it from the audience perspective, even though the audience booed the hell out of whatever happened on Saturday. But that's why this struggle for ticket sales for WrestleMania, because the booking is so bad. People are not worth wanting to pay the price of admission to watch a very bad product right now.
Yep.
Why am I going to watch a WrestleMania when Cody versus Drew is on SmackDown twice in the last two months for the world title? Why would I need to go to a pay-per-view when I can just watch this on TV for free?
Absolutely.
And I'll be honest with you. If WrestleMania doesn't get 50,000 per night, that's very cliche to say, or they should get it. But if they don't hit 50,000 for both nights this year, I think that there's going to be a lot of talk between Endeavor, TKO, and the board of directors at WWE, that's to figure out, all right, what is going on and wrong in 2022, 2023? The last couple of years, though, have been steadily declining. What's been going on? And I think The Rock is a big factor in that. Triple H is definitely a factor of that. Yeah, it's pretty sad that right now, as of today, March 5th, 2026, I'm more excited to watch at 2 o'clock in the morning the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and not WrestleMania either night.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you give in the fact, and this is a great transition, talking about WrestleMania to our kind of the joke rumor of the wrestling world that I just have to bring up. All right, so there's this social media beef between Logan Paul and Tom Brady, where like Tom Brady thinks WWE is like not athletic, and you know all of the stereotypes, and Tom Brady thinks that he can do all of that stuff in his sleep and yada yada. Well, I've been saying for a while, and everybody was, not thinking I was actually serious, that this was going to lead up to some sort of WrestleMania moment. They're going to take their opportunity there and use this press. And I don't know if this whole story thing started as with the intention of it being a WrestleMania moment, or WWE saw, oh, hey, this beef is actually like we could use this. WrestleMania is in Vegas this year. Tom Brady's co-owner or partial owner or minority owner, I don't know, of the Las Vegas Raiders. A report came out from WrestleVotes Radio on behalf of Fightful Select that Tom Brady logos, specialty merchandise, and branding have been worked on within departments of the WWE, including nicknames, I guess you could say, such as T-Bone and the Untouchable Tom Brady. We're going to get a Tom Brady WrestleMania match before GTA 6 comes out. Wild. And I mentioned this to somebody today, and he was like, Tom Brady is not going to be able to wrestle. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, maybe he doesn't wrestle. Maybe he's the untouchable Tom Brady, and he brings somebody, a friend of his that has been a wrestler before, Rob Gronkowski, to fight Logan Paul, or maybe Logan Paul beats the shit out of Tom Brady. Look, Bills fan, I would love to see that. Tom Brady was ruthless to us. Beat the shit out of him, Logan Paul. No, I mean, WWE, they're struggling to sell tickets to WrestleMania. Why are they even considering an option of bringing Tom Brady into the WWE? That's not what the fans want. Your thoughts. Tom Brady, can he really come to WWE?
I guess he could. It wouldn't surprise me. What did Kenny Omega say a couple years ago? That we're only a few WrestleManias away from Logan Paul versus Mr. Beast. That would be pretty close to it. I don't know if Tom really gets in the ring and wrestles. He's not a starting quarterback anymore, so he doesn't have to worry about getting hurt and not performing his duties as a starting quarterback for an NFL team. But
right.
I don't think it'll happen. I think that he'll be involved in some way, and it could be a way to drive ticket sales. Who knows? Maybe get a crossover for the sports fans to watch wrestling, watch WrestleMania, buy a ticket for WrestleMania.
But, as bad as the Raiders are, maybe that's buy a WrestleMania ticket and we'll give you season tickets to the Raiders games.
Probably if you have season tickets for the Raiders, you got a free ticket for WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be wild.
Yeah. Well, the state of the WWE, like the fact that that's even in the realm of possibility, that's just the state of the WWE right now, I guess. All right. Well, that's all I had.
True.
For the show. So we're at the point of the show now that we're at the final thoughts piece of the show. Last chance to say anything on your mind before we end the day. Any last thoughts, my friend?
I don't really think I have any really to pick up last thoughts. This year's build to WrestleMania, while we do have a few matches, the overall feel just feels really bland, really bad, just not positive and not exciting. We'll see where we are in a couple weeks as we get closer and closer to Mania. I think Revolution's card does look pretty good. It'll be a fun pay-per-view, and sometimes the most mid card for a pay-per-view for AEW outperforms some of their best stacked ones sometimes. So right. They always put on good shows, so it's going to be a good show for Revolution here in just about 10 days from now. Looking forward to that. And that's all I got.
All right. Well, I'm going to end with two thoughts. The first is, you know, we were talking earlier on the sports part of the show, how the Commanders were needing a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a new linebacker on the free agent market. The Chicago Bears have released Pro Bowl linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, per sources. 8 seasons in the NFL, has 900 tackles on his resume, and will create $15 million in cap space for the Chicago Bears. That's now, look, I want him back in Buffalo, but that would be a good pickup for Washington if they could get Tremaine Edmonds. And then my final thought, I'm going to leave you with an interesting quote I saw on social media. All right. Logan Paul in WWE has had a 30 career matches in his career. Sting had 6 career matches in his WWE career. Vince McMahon had 52 total matches in his WWE career. Just in casket matches alone, The Undertaker had 65 casket matches. He did double the amount of Logan Paul's entire career in casket matches. And what did he get in, and what does he get in return for that? He gets to tell people that he's proud to induct them into the WWE Class of 2026 Hall of Fame.
The NFL has their guy, WWE has their guy, I guess. I don't know.
So yeah, that's all I got for you. We're gonna tune it over to the man with the final words, but before that, just some quick notes. Scan that QR code. Join the Real Wrestling community. Next week, we're going to drop the prediction form for us to do some predictions for AEW Revolution. We'll have our prediction show going through the match card as well next week. But that's all the notes I got for you. All the descriptions are in the notes in the description. We'll turn it over, my man. The final words of the night.
This is week 2 of me challenging the Stash Wrestling Club, whatever they're called on YouTube, to a quiz challenge of any sort. Theme songs, stage designs, wrestling trivia. I'm calling you out. So, Jamie, if you'll want to somehow crop this, tag them, put it on the socials. I don't give a damn. I'm challenging these bitches. I will drive myself to and from wherever the hell you are just so I can prove you. Prove to you that I'm better than you, and y'all know it, and I'll steal the title belt from you and possibly throw it in the trash can like Alundra Blaze / Medusa did back in 1996 for the WWF women's belt. We'll see. Yeah, I hope everybody has a great day, great weekend. See you next Thursday, of course. Mix up whatever you want to make it as saucy as you want. Just don't get as saucy as Jerks and Profar. Fuck that son of a bitch. I hope he gets deported. I hope he never plays baseball of any kind again. I hate that son of a bitch right now. You want to talk about somebody who literally, like, it's almost as if that kid that cheated off the smart kid at school to get the A, and everybody gives him credit for being smart and getting the A, and then when he's by himself and they have to, like, interview him, and he's just like, that's, like, jerk's profile. Like, you cheated to get to where you're at, and then you got caught because twice. You weren't that good. Twice, like a dumbass.
I got some words.
I hope that you're playing basically Little League baseball.
I got some words for Jerickson Profar. You ready? Oh, God.
Your mama, boy.
Not the your mama boy, the person at the front. The person at the front that said, "You're a piece of shit."
Yes, that's exactly right. So piss off Jerickson Profar. Good luck in hell. Other than that, stay saucy, friends.
We'll see y'all next week. This is wrestling without the filter. This is Beyond the Junkyard. This is wrestling without the filter. This is Beyond the Junkyard. Not just the pain, not just the scars. Yeah, this ain't backyard. This is war. Beyond the Junkyard. Where the real ones fight, not for a cause. Beyond the Junkyard. No script, no mercy, leads your mind.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing, another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.